Let's go to our occasional series called Solving the World's Problems, and I'm joined by senior writer for the New Zealand Herald, Simon Wilson. Hello.
How are you, Jesse?
Great. Senior writer and committed foodie. Have you been enjoying level three conditions?
Level three conditions for me are pretty much the same as level four in terms of food. I'm holed up in a bubble with three people who enjoy cooking. So I'm cooking tonight. No, I am. Everyone's sort of pushed out the barrow, really. You know, it's all been inventing new stuff, and it's been fun.
You're not the first person to tell me that. We were away from takeaways long enough that the cravings sort of disappeared, and we all remembered what real food tasted like.
I know. We've got half a cauliflower in our fridge at the moment, and I've just come out of an argument with my adult son who's here with us about who's going to cook it. You know, and it's that kind of thing, and that's kind of quite a good argument to have, really.
You're roasting your cauliflower, are you?
I'm not. I won the argument, but I'm not even sure what I'm going to do.
Can I recommend, just while we're on the topic, Kelly Gibney's recipe for cauliflower mac and cheese, where she uses not only just little bits of cauliflower in the mac and cheese, but she purees cauliflower and creates this really incredible tasting sauce.
Yeah.
It's quite wonderful.
I can't do that because my son did a cauliflower puree a couple of weeks ago and built a whole meal up on top of it, and that's his now. It was great.
All right, all right. Look, don't let me tell you how to live your life, Simon. Thanks for joining us. And you begin your column today by suggesting that you'd like Simon Bridges in your expanded bubble. Simon Bridges, the leader of the National Party. What's your thinking there?
Yeah, well, I've been really sort of thinking about poor old Simon Bridges, who, you know, has done quite a lot of good work in this current pandemic. His chairing of the Epidemic Response Committee has been sound and sensible on the whole. He's had good guests in front of him, and they've asked a lot of the right questions. And the existence of that committee is terrific. It was set up by the government, but deliberately set up with Bridges in the chair and a majority of opposition MPs. And I think that's a fantastic thing to do in a democracy where you've also at the same time got a very authoritarian leader system in place, you know, suspended. So that's been great. He's done that well. But he has this extraordinary penchant at the same time for making ridiculous statements, sounding like Donald Trump and being kind of mean and shouty about things where it's just inappropriate to do it. And what it points to is a kind of lack of judgment, you know. He's a bit panicky. And of course, being in a crisis, you find out what your leaders are really like. Because this is when we really need leaders. We need them in a crisis. And you don't want the panicky.
Very difficult to be a leader of opposition when you're in a crisis and when there is general agreement, if not consensus, that the Prime Minister is doing a decent job, because you need to be critiquing that person and you need to be offering an alternative viewpoint and opposing some of what's going on, but it can trap you a little, can't it? Because it can sometimes make you feel like you're the only person who doesn't agree with what's going on.
Oh, I think that's true, and it is difficult to have a message of, you know, these are the right things to do, but we also need to know more about this. It can't necessarily sound like the right soundbite that will get you on the front page or whatever, or high on the TV news.
In fact, sometimes, sometimes I will say that, you know, if I'm interviewing a government minister about something, I'll think, well, I'll read what Simon Bridges has got to say about it, because it might inform sort of the alternate viewpoint. And sometimes you will read the entire media release and at the end think, I'm not still really sure what his point is here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tricky thing, and it's very hard to describe, but you come away from what he says a lot of the time thinking all you're really doing is going, nah, nah, nah. And, you know, if that's the takeout, then that becomes difficult for him. However, I don't think he's, you know, there are people saying his drums are beating for him in his caucus, and I don't think that's happening. We've got a budget in a couple of weeks. It seems impossible to me that they would want to do anything, you know, to roll him before the budget. The budget will be Grant Robertson and Jacinda Ardern's real test, and it will be Bridges and his finance spokesperson Paul Goldsmith's test as well, because with the election later this year, we're not going to vote on whether the lockdown went well. That's important to us now, but what we will be voting on is which coalition or which party we think can lead us into recovery the best. And it's all in front of both of them in those terms.
See, momentum's such a funny thing in politics, isn't it? I mean, I'm not a politics expert, but it seems to me that when the guns are out for someone or when it's perceived that they're having a rough time, they really can't do anything right. And I think of before this crisis, there was a time where the Labor government were, you know, seemingly being criticised by everyone. Their support seemed to be hemorrhaging. People were talking about, you know, the Prime Minister was going to be just a one-term, you know, forgettable Prime Minister, I think was Matthew Hudin's words. He's not always the person to go to on this sort of thing, but it was a phrase that stuck with me. And yet the momentum now is going in the other direction, apparently, and yes, maybe it's just that Simon Bridges can't catch a break. It's almost sport.
I think that's possibly true. I don't think he's the political leader who's having the most difficulty at the moment in relation to that, though. I think, you know, Winston Peters came back into Parliament this week and made a strong statement in defence of import substitution and building the local economy, you know, and carved out a niche for himself that others hadn't quite been talking about. That was impressive. The responsible partners of the government are the Greens, who don't try and say we're not like Labour all the time, try to do their support a bit, but they kind of get trampled underfoot. And I think it's going to be interesting between here and the election to see how James Shaw and Martina Davidson, you know, raise their heads up and go, you know, we're the people who are pursuing these progressive policies, and we think we keep Labour honest, and therefore we need to be in Parliament. They've got a difficult job in front of them, because this election is going to be focused very much on the national leader, whoever it is, probably Simon Bridges, and Jacinda Ardern.
Was there anything to that story? I think it was around last week, about certain members within the Green Party trying to demote MPs on the list who weren't perceived as hard enough left. That's my paraphrasing, but hopefully you know the story I'm talking about.
There are splits in the Green Party. There are splits in all parties, but one of the things about the Green Party is that it's very democratic. Decisions about the list and about policy and so on are made very democratically. And it's very easy to... What people often say about the Greens is they're split between the Green Greens and the Red Greens. That's not the real split. I don't think there are any MPs in the Green caucus who don't support the need to do a lot about poverty and a lot about the environment, to put it in simple terms. But there is a split between those who are committed to the idea that working in the government, part of the government, is the most effective way for a parliamentary party to operate, and those who believe that the Green Party needs to be more of a ginger group, putting pressure on from outside. That's a really big split. At the moment, the parliamentarians, if you like, have the upper hand, because James Shaw is a minister. He's got colleagues as ministers. But there are some who think that that's not good enough. Russell Norman probably speaks for them. Now having Greenpeace, who argues that Shaw's been co-opted. If you're a Green supporter, you've got to make a decision about that. Do you believe that it's important to be at the table and leave the more radical positions to others, or do you believe that being at the table can't be effective?
Who will lead the National Party into the 2020 general election, Simon Wilson?
I think it's likely to be Simon Bridges. But it will depend very much on how he performs out of the in the whole round of debating the budget, which is on May in a couple of weeks' time. If it's not Simon Bridges, I don't see it being Judith Collins. I don't think she has caucus support, and they're the ones who vote for the leader. And I don't think she has wide support in the population either. I think she has her fans, but she alienates more than she support from. I don't think it's Paula Bennett. I think she's too much of the old guard, established. She's part of Simon Bridges' leadership now, of course, but before that, part of the John Key leadership. The dark horse I would watch is Nikki Kaye, who has always said she doesn't want it, but Jacinda Ardern used to say she didn't want it either. And Nikki Kaye knows how to beat Jacinda Ardern, so, I'd keep an eye on her.
Very interesting. Someone suggests that a good use for cauliflower, Simon, is to use finely crumbed collie as flour in your pizza base. Think about it.
It sounds like the sort of thing you do when you're on your 10th cauliflower for the week, doesn't it?
Okay. Hey, nice to chat with you. Thanks very much for your thoughts. Yeah, good talk.
Thanks,
cheers.
Right.